Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel of John in chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And we join a session where Jesus is teaching Nicodemus as we continue our look at this Gospel. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us just pray. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today that we go from this place different, having met with you. Amen. I notice there's quite a lot of chocolate and daffodils left. I was going to suggest at the end, if anyone is going off to see their mum or something else, well, something else, you know what I mean. What is equivalent to their mum? Because we all have mother figures and that. If you want to take them, take a chocolate and take some daffodils, please do. And I think it'd be nice if some of us gave them to the men as well. So give them to the men as well. Not the daffs, the chocolate maybe. But they need to go. We don't want them sitting there, do we? I have to say I'm allergic to both. So please don't give me any more. Brilliant. Jackie said to me, good day for you, Laura. You're allergic to both of them. I went, yes. But it's lovely Mother's Day. And I want to talk about love today, but don't get all kind of comfortable, will you? Thinking, oh, that's nice, because I'm not going to be nice. I am. Love's an amazing thing, so I just want to talk about it a little bit. But first, I think this has to be one of the most quoted and well-known verses in the Bible, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful scripture. This scripture is really significant, and it challenges to think and understand, I think, what love is. What we talk about love. Love. Jesus actually uses the words here, whoever, and I particularly emphasize that because whoever is really important. It suggests that the gospel is not limited to just Israel. The point is, Jesus came to save the world. And often we would have heard it said that this gospel is called the this verse is called the gospel in a nutshell. It's been called that many times, isn't it? It's a reminder that we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace. There's lots of emphasis in there that indicate that. It is about who we have faith in, not how good we are. That's quite tough to hear sometimes, isn't it? Most of us are sitting there condemning ourselves already. But it's not actually about how good we are. It's about who we have faith in. It's about what Jesus did. Not that we don't change, because we do, as the Holy Spirit works in us. And the point is, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and the Holy Spirit convicts us, and the Holy Spirit disciples us, and the Holy Spirit changes us in that way. But salvation is achieved through Jesus, not by earning it. Not by earning it. We can't earn it. Jesus did it on the cross. The cross was enough. If you ever say you can't be forgiven, if you say you can't come, you're saying the cross wasn't enough. And I don't know about you, but that cross was enough. And it's very easy to judge others, isn't it? Very easy to judge others and forget that firstly we are called to love. Firstly, we are called to love. And we are called to extend the grace that is given to us. And grace is something that we are given that we don't deserve. We're all given eternal life when we believe in Jesus. We all get to know him. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us because he loves us. But that's what it's about. We're just meant to extend that grace further. And it is more important, can I tell you, to sort out your own walk with Jesus than judge others' walks. We're very good, aren't we, looking at him or her over there and going blah, blah, blah. But I want to talk today particularly about sorting out our own walk with Jesus. It is good to remember that the two commandments that we must take most seriously are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, and then love your neighbour as yourself. We must remember, when we are throwing stones, that we all fall short. All fall short. Every single one of us falls short. We must never let a lack of God, love and grace stop someone else coming to know Jesus. We've seen that. We've seen it in the church before. We don't allow others in. We are thirsty to love God and show others the way to salvation. Show them the salvation. And it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit that will change others. Not you and me, by the way. We preach it, we teach it, we share it, but it's the Holy Spirit that changes others. I don't know about you, but I can remember when I first became a Christian, all sorts of things being pointed out to me. I didn't hear it half the time. It was when the Holy Spirit convicted me. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be taught, but it was when the Holy Spirit convicted me, I changed. We are to be good witnesses. We have not been given the position of judge. That's for God. God alone. James says 4:12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. And you, who are you to judge your neighbour? Who are you? It's tough, isn't it? Sometimes it means that we have to live with tension. In fact, often we have to live with tension. John 13:24-35 reads, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. First thing we need to be discipled in is how to love and be loving and show the love that we've been given by God to others. It's part of disciples, being a disciple. If you have love for one another, others will see me through you. That doesn't mean we don't challenge, but it means we have to make sure that we do things all in the right way and for the right reasons, and we learn to hold tensions. So what does it really mean to love, to be loved by God, though? Do you know that you are loved by God? When I say no, do you know it in your knowing? Do you really know it? Loved by God. You are loved by God. Firstly, we must establish this is not a soppy, sentimental, superficial kind of love I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the sort of love that gets on a cross. This is love that is the very essence of who God is, his character. 1 John 4 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God lives in them. This isn't sentimental. This is something more. This is deep. There's a book I've been reading at the moment, and it says this. It says, when love awakens in your life, in the night of your heart, it is like the dawn breaking within it. Where before there was anonymity, now there is intimacy. Where before there was fear, now there is courage. Where before in your life there was awkwardness, now there is rhythm of grace and gracefulness. Where before you were jagged, now you are elegant and in rhythm with yourself. When love awakens in your life, it is like rebirth, a new beginning. Of course, Christians, we can put God in that place of love there. God is love. It is in knowing and receiving God's love we are transformed and we are reconciled. It is in knowing God we are at peace and drawn into intimacy with the Creator. The other word that's really important in that particular scripture is the word believe. Believe. And used here in particular context, it means to be convinced of something that is true. Do you believe? Do you believe it's true that Jesus died for you? Do you believe in grace? Do you extend grace? Do you believe in it? To trust. It says to trust here. To have faith. In Hebrews, faith is defined as assurance for things hoped for, proof of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. To believe means makes a difference to how you live, doesn't it? If you really believe something, it changes who you are. It changes how you live. Jesus will change who you are and how you live. If you really believe it, if I really believe I'm loved by God, if I really believe in the cross, if I really believe this stuff, it will make a difference to who I am. If I really believe the Holy Spirit lives in me, I will walk differently. I will do things differently. I will love differently. And I love the verse 14 and part where it reminds us of that very important event in history. As we are drawn into that story of Moses and the lifting up of the bronze snake to the people in the desert. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? And we could at that point be thinking about the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve. Moses here is ordered by God to make this bronze snake, to bring people actually to healing. When they looked at the snake, they were healed, the bronze snake. Because they had been disobedient, and again, moaning, God sent venomous snakes amongst them to kill them. And as they are suffering, God seems to have more of an issue, can I say, by the way, here, about moaning in the Bible than anything else we get up to. Go and look at the scriptures. The amount of times they were moaning. And God says, right. We don't tend to see it as a sin, but it's a sin. We're very good at moaning. Look in the Bible. We don't take it seriously enough. Moaning is not great. Having an opinion, having something, it's different to moaning, groaning. It's a sin. But God gives them a way out, because God always gives us a way out. That's the point. Even though they are disobedient, even though they're having a good grumble, if they turn and look at the bronze snake, as it's lifted up, they receive healing. Fantastic. The story is from Numbers 21:4, if you want to go and look at it later. Whoever looked up at the bronze serpent, though, was saved. They were given new life. As Jesus is lifted up on the cross, we are given new life. That's the point. Both lifted up. God's love means healing for us, wholeness, reconciliation. And even when we turn away, even when we are against God, his desire is always to restore us. He wants you in relationship with him. He wants me in relationship with him. He wants your neighbor in relationship with him. This scripture says the Son of Man must be lifted up like that snake, that bronze snake that bore healing. And the word used there as well is must be lifted up, suggesting clearly the cross had to happen for salvation. There was no other way. God had to die, to rise, to conquer sin. He had to be lifted up on the cross. As we look to Jesus, he carries all the sin of the world, everything we've done wrong out of the world. All that Satan has planned is futile, by the way. He will never have the victory. He can't have the victory. It's already been won on the cross. God's love goes beyond all that we have done wrong, all that we will do wrong, and I hate to tell you, we will do things wrong, and beyond the decay in the world, and brings victory and new hope. This is an amazing, amazing scriptures. How God is amazing. Jesus is amazing. But we have to face the serpent to receive the healing as well. We have to examine our own sin, if you like, and give it to Jesus. We have to lift it up to the cross. The situation Moses was in meant the people would die as they were bitten by the snake. These were not happy snakes. They were not good snakes. The situation with Jesus meant eternal death for us, because we are broken. We are born broken. We are born messed up. Who doesn't know that? God provides hope and a way out in both cases. First through the bronze snake, serpent. And then because of Jesus dying for our brokenness. He died for the brokenness of the world. He died for the brokenness of you and me. And in both cases, people are saved by looking and believing. The thing is, we have to be honest, don't we, about the things that we do wrong. The things that are wrong in us, so that Jesus can shine the light on them. And these things can be dealt with. And that's tough. It's tough to be honest, isn't it? It's much easier to look at everyone else's stuff, isn't it, than our own. But it's when we hide the things that need dealing with that we become slaves to them. The root of the word occult is hidden. This means hidden. When we hide things, when we don't shine in the light, they can't be dealt with. We become slaves to them. We're only free when we allow Jesus to see all that is in us and we allow him to do work in us by the power of his Spirit. And that means knowing that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm really not. And I'm okay with that, because my God is. My Jesus is perfect. We live lives that are wrong. We are broken. I am broken. We think evil thoughts. We hurt others, not intentionally always, but we do. We live unclean. We seek gratification in the wrong things. We judge. And yet Jesus sees it all. And it's when we let him take hold of all that is wrong that we start to really live in the light. Eternal life is offered because God loves us. That's love. That's love. He isn't keen to let go of you and me. Got no intention of letting go of us. He wants us to believe. He wants to meet with you in the hard things as well as the good things. And he wants to transform you, you and me, daily, continually. We're in a process of being transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I won't get there, you know, I won't get there till I meet Jesus face to face. Neither will you. God didn't even withhold his son for you. Imagine. Here on Mother's Day, he didn't withhold his son for your salvation because he loved you. Nothing ever was going to stop him getting to you and me. That is love. So will you allow things in your life to be hidden? Or are you going to hold the serpent up in your life and allow Jesus to heal you as he meets you on that cross and he is held up? Will you let him change you? Will you let him bring your presence? Will you encounter him in a way that will change your life every single day? And the thing we're asked to do in this scripture is believe. Do you believe? We're reminded it isn't because, of course, God wants to condemn us either. We can often start with condemnation, don't we? I don't know, we so often do start with condemnation. It says very clearly, it doesn't want to condemn us. That's the point. The world is already condemned. It's condemned through the action of decay and sin at the very beginning. We live in a condemned world. He comes into the condemnation to bring us out of it. We're already broken. The world is broken. Everything in it. Start from that place. And then we allow Jesus to mend us bit by bit, to meet with us bit by bit, to transform us. So stop looking at others. Deal with yourselves. I need to deal with myself. It's not just for you. But let's deal with ourselves. Let's deal with what's in here first. If we do that, we'd all change. Anyway, wouldn't we? Point is, God loves you. He loves you that much. He wants to deal with you. Luther, the theologian, said, "How could God love such a world?" Who has that feeling sometimes, eh? "If I were our Lord God, and these vile people were as disobedient as they now be, I would knock the world to pieces. The miracle is that God doesn't. God sends the Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Luther calls this verse the gospel in miniature. It's a nutshell thing, isn't it? God's motive is love. God's objective is salvation. Those who actually receive eternal life are those who believe in the Son. Believe in Jesus. Jesus had the biggest issues, you know, with the Pharisees who didn't see their own sin. They were very good, weren't they, poncing around going, everyone else is doing this. They pointed out everyone else. They actually burdened people more with even more stuff. They kept burdening them and giving them more stuff to make them worse. They just wanted the people burdened. They didn't have hearts of love. They had hearts of stone. And he had the biggest issue with that group. Jesus comes to the condemned world so that we can be reconciled with God through him. Can I say now, you are not condemned when you believe in Jesus. You don't live like you are condemned. You're not when you believe in Jesus. When you allow Jesus into your life, he will change it. He will challenge you. But you are not condemned when you believe in Jesus. I disappear. So here in this scripture read, reminded as well, of course, that God is light. John uses signs all through the gospel. We call them signs, don't we? They're the bits that point to us to who Jesus is, as the Messiah, the Lord of Lords. And it says the light shows up the darkness. So true, isn't it? In darkness, a tiny bit of light comes into the room and you will walk towards that light when you'll look towards that light. Difference that light makes. But here we are warned. We are warned not to love the darkness, to allow God into darkness and to deal with it. Have to do that. And the truth is, we will all, each of us here, we will choose in the end, either we will desire the things in our life that take us away from Jesus, or we will allow Jesus to have our life. And in giving our life to him, do you know what? We live forever. And we learn to love. The question is, what is there in your life and my life that needs exposing? And don't worry, you don't have to reveal it to everyone. I'm not going to see it, and that's not the point. I don't want to start doing a sort of I did this and that. Don't worry, or I'm doing that. But actually, what is there in your life that needs exposing? But you do need to give it to Jesus. You do. You do need to let God look into the dark parts of who you are, to turn you from lies and allow the light to lead you to the truth. You do. I do. Always. You do need to lift up the serpent in your life and receive the healing of the cross. We all do. The world is broken. We do need to allow the Holy Spirit into the hidden parts of who we are and allow the Spirit to transform us. We do. When have you judged others? When have you not shown mercy? When have you been a Pharisee? Look at what the Spirit is doing in others' lives more. Looking at what the Spirit is doing in others' lives more than what is wrong with you. And actually, when we are judging, it is a good thing to turn that around and actually say, you know, somebody said to me recently, I'm actually a leading anyone will say who, a church person, and I was talking to them, and they said, you know, Laura said, look at what the Holy Spirit's doing in that person. Don't look at what's wrong with them. Where's God moving in that person? What is God doing with them? Celebrate that. Isn't that a wonderful attitude to have? What is the Holy Spirit doing in that person? What is God doing in that person, rather than what is wrong with them? Celebrate that. Encourage that, and they'll change, and I'll change. So today, may you first of all know that you are loved by God. Not sentimental, mushy love. Love that gets on the cross. Allow his salvation to fill your heart. Allow it. Give him every area in your life that needs dealing with as well. Don't be afraid. I hate to tell you, he knows anyway. Accept his gift of life and hope. God is love. Allow God in to change you. To change you. And let's learn to love. Let's learn to love like God love. It's God's community. Let's be different to the world. Bringing people out of condemnation into celebration. Can I ask the band to come up again? We just have time ministry. I told you I was going to jolly you up today. Just think for a moment maybe. I think first of all, if we just think for a moment of those things maybe where we've judged others. Just lay that down. Where you've perhaps taken more interest in everyone else's life than your own. One by one, as we change, the world will change. By your witness, others change as well. So just think about those things, maybe. At times when you've behaved like a Pharisee. Lord, please forgive us. Forgive us when we behave that way. Maybe now just think of how much God loves you. He took everything on the cross for you. Everything. And allow his love to move in your heart, to transform you, to fill you with his spirit. Give him your brokenness. How God is into restoration. Allow the Lord to minister to you. There will be people available to pray with you at the prayer point, and do get prayed for today if you need it for anything. Don't go from this place having not received ministry. I'd like to stand if you can, and I'm just going to pray the Holy Spirit down as we just continue to think of things that God is doing in our hearts now. Lord Jesus, release on us by the power of your Spirit your love. Love that got on the cross. Release on us, Lord, the power of your grace. And Lord, in us today, release on us the power to love others the same way. To show mercy. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with the power of your love. And free us. Free us from any darkness here, that we will not be slaves. And through our love for each other, others will know you.